yesterday we laid the groundwork, the framework for Liban and El Zman overall, and we began to chazar the first major sugya, and then we had a very dramatic end to yesterday's chazarish here with a fire drill. So let's remember where we're at, and then let's pick up from there. We were exploring, we pointed out three major kashas in the opening shakal of Atarya. Gobi, can you hear me? Wow, I'm impressed by your hearing. Fantastic. Shmuel, can you hear me? Amazing. So you notice there are three major kashas in the shakal of Atarya. We focused yesterday in particular, the Abai and Rava each gave a teres to the Gemara's second question. The Gemara's second question was, on what basis did Chazal create Shemitah's Ksafim Drabanan? Isn't that, essentially, to borrow the language, the Sugni Vamas, isn't Shemitah's Ksafim Drabanan Akira's Davar Minatorah? Because what Davar Minatorah? Minatorah is equipped to pay your debts. Kos Ashok, Kriyas Balchav Mitzvah, the Chi of Daraisa to pay your debts, is Yisra Raisa not to pay your debts? So based on what are you not paying your debts? So Abaye had answered, well, it's a Sheval Tasa. And not telling you to go do something, just telling you, you know, you're not mechuyav to pay back. And the Rava said, it's a financial issue, have to present effort. Yesterday we were focused on why did Rava need to offer an alternative? What's wrong with Abaye's terrorists? Especially since, as we highlighted yesterday, Rabba, one of the Rabbeim of Abai and Rabba, already gave both these Yisodos. So it's not in the central universal sugya of Akira's Davmen HaTorah and Yivamis. So it's highly unlikely that Rabba disagrees with the basic concept of Akira's Davmen HaTorah. Rabba agrees that Shofar B'Shabbos and Lulav B'Shabbos and Sadin B'Tzitzis and all those 7-8 examples the Gemara discusses in Daf Tzadi, they're all neck are based on Sheva Al Tasa. So Rava accepts the concept. So why would it be that, so presumably what's going on is that, of course, Rava accepts his Rebbe's Yisod, the Yeshkoch Lakar, the Sheva Al Tasa. Rava just doesn't think it applies here. He accepts it by Shofar B'Shabbos, by Sadin B'Tzitzis, and by Gershon Esgayer Kodma Pesach. He just doesn't think that Shmitz's Ksafim to Rabbanon would be a good example of Akira B'Shav Al-Tasa. Why would that be? So yesterday we began to review our exploration of the general issue of Akira's Davar Torah, the Shav Al-Tasa. The first layer of that, as Rav Chanan points out in his Sefer Yevamos, Simon Samach Tas, is that there is a machlokas harishon. First layer is the machlokas harishon in terms of the what, in terms of the definition of Akira. The definition of Akira B'Shev Al-Tasa, and that we saw begins with the Machlokas Rosh and Rambam, Rosh and the Rashba, and appears to really expand to be more generally Machlokas Svardim and Ashkenazim. How do you define, how do you translate Shev Al-Tasa? Where the Bali Atosas understand that literally the halachas differentiate between being physically passive versus physically active. While the Svardim, the Rambam, the Rashba, the Ritva, they say, no, it's not about physical passivity, physical activity. It's about, halachically, is it merely a bitul asay, or is it a violation of an isur? A number of examples of that. Rabbi Chanan points to, on the one hand, the Rosh in Nazir assumes that violation of Baal Ta'achar, which is a lav, could be called Shev Al Tasa. Clearly for the Rosh is about physical passivity. Meanwhile, the Rashba in Rosh Hashanah, talking about Baal Tigra, seems to assume that passive violation of Baal Tigra is not a Shev Al Tasa. So he seems to assume it's all about, is it a kiyum, is it a mitzvah or an aveira? He spoke as well about in Yevamos Daf Tzadi, Tosis has this long discussion about keeping clothing on, maintaining, continuing to wear a beged without tzitzis, continuing to wear a beged with shatnez. Is that, I'm not putting it on, but I'm keeping it on. So putting it on is clearly active. Keeping it on, it's not 100% active. So Tosis, but it's not 100% passive. Yeah, I am wearing it. So I'm presently wearing my jacket. So is that active? Well, I'm continuing to wear it. Tosa says, well, it's sort of in between. And so Tosa starts, it gets into discussion about that in terms of tzitzis, in terms of shatness. So Bukhara points out the whole discussion in Tosas presumes that it's all about actual physical activity, physical passivity. Whereas the Rajba would never get into nitty gritties of how active are you being that you're continuing to wear that sweatshirt. It's a, for Rajba, it's an irrelevant question. And the question that Tosas raised in Yevamos Daf Sadi, which really is steer between the Sugya and Yevamos about tzitzis, a beggar without tzitzis, Sugya and Brachas, about a beggar and Rashatnas. So Rajba said, that's the most obvious answer in the world. Tzitzis is a mitzvah, Shatnas is an Aveira. That's why the Ramban, Rajba, Ritva, and Yevamos don't bother with Tosas and Kasha. For them, it's very simple. Okay. We point out one more interesting twist in this machlokas of what is that there's a reverse as well. Everything we spoke about up until now were passive violations of Yisurim. Continuing to wear the shatnez. Not blowing shofar and therefore passively violating Baal Tigla. Not bringing the carbon nazir and therefore passively violating Baal Kach. There's also a case of the opposite. You're doing a maisa, which is an active violation of a mitzvah, as I said. Where do you have that? He said that one of the famous cases where there's a machlokas Ashkenazim as far as whether a particular concept is Daraisa Drabanan is Avelis. The notion of sitting Shiva, when a person loses a relative, Balyatosa say it's totally Drabanan. The whole notion of sitting Shiva is no possible in Kumish, it's totally an invention, me Drabanan. The Svaradim assume that it is Daraisa for the first day. 7 days is Drabanan, but the Avelis Yom Rishon did Daraisa. One of the proof texts is Sugi and Ksubis, that we spent some time on. Ksubis Dav Gimel and Beis Dalam and Aleph. Tragic, and profoundly ambivalent situation. About to have a wedding, and then one of the parents passes away. A grandparent passes away right before a wedding is already an incredible emotional roller coaster. Alachas Kamakama, a parent passes away. The chassan's father, the Tala's mother, passed away hours before the wedding. Wow. Overwhelming. Overwhelming emotionally and practically as well. Incredible financial. Where do you go? What do you do? And financially, the wedding is all paid for. The food is all fresh. Before refrigeration, you're not throwing the meat in the freezer. It's an incredible financial cost as well. So emotionally, financially, how do you deal with this? So the Gemara says Chazal's guidance is put the mace aside. Practically speaking, Shiva mostly begins only from the Kavura. So artificially delay the Shiva by artificially postponing the Levaya. First have the Chuppah. Chas and Kala are briefly intimate together, Bol Bias Mitzvah Porish, and then carry on with the Levaya. But begin the Shiva Simei, have the wedding, begin the Shiva Simei Amishta before the Kavura, which will practically speaking be the inception of Shiva. So Tosa says, I don't understand. He says, I understand, Tosin says. I hold that the whole notion of Shiva's Rabbanon. So Chazal said, in this case, we're telling you, get married instead of get married, be a smitzvah instead of Shiva. Okay. If it's all Rabbanon, then Chazal will structure it as they see fit. But if Avail is according to the Sfaradim with the Raisa, how is this working? How are you allowed to say, well, you're not going to do the Kavura, but that the whole notion of waiting for the Kavura, that's probably all Rabbanon. The Dinam Daraisa Avails already start from the Misa. So how are you telling the Chasen Kala you're going to get married and Baal Bias Mitzvah and then have the Kura? What's going on? The Tosa says, Arayit in the Avails of Rishon is Rabbanan. Ramban is a proponent of Avails of Rishon Daraisa. And his solution is, well, it's in, and the Rabban, Rajba, Ritva, all the Chachmas for and that's what you say. It's Akira's Davar Minatora B'Sheva Al Tasa. Sheva Al Tasa. So we look at that, we wonder, Sheva Al Tasa. I understand you postpone, you passively didn't have the Rabbi here. But meanwhile, they don't want to do also the Kumbas, eh? You're going ahead, you're getting married, Bol Bils Mitzvah. That's a mice. How do the Ramban Raj Ritva all with a straight face and very nonchalantly? They don't even seem to even feel the need to explain anything. They just, without any hesitation, very calmly say, yeah, Sheval Tasa. What's Sheval Tasa? And they're so calm about it as though it's self-evident. The answer is it is self-evident if you assume their approach, they're being consistent. That Sheva Al Tasa has nothing to do with physical activity, physical passivity, has everything to do with mitzvah versus aveir. So yeah, physically you're being very active, but that activity is only a violation of its tasa. Mitzvah aveilus isn't an iser, it's a mitzvah. You fulfill aveilus in part by avoiding certain divar hamasam. So here we see, so layer one of this machlok is about Sheva Al Tasa is the layer of description, of definition, how you define Sheva Al Tasa. And what you see is that the Ashkenazim and Sfaradim consistently disagree in both situations, both in a case where you're passively violating a law and when you're actively being violent, the Ashkenazim say it's all about physical activity, passivity. Sfaradim say it's all about bitvase versus aveyas law. The second layer, Rachana begins to put this together, and the second layer here is, well, why? Why would they be arguing? Why would I favor one explanation or another? That appears to go to the heart of why does Akira's Dava Sheva Al Tasa work? Rabba said it in Yavamas, and the Gemara repeats it in many other places in Rosh Hashanah and here again. But why? What's the logic behind it? If you say like Rav Chisda, okay, yesh koch lakar. If you say like Rabba, if ain't koch lakar, ain't koch lakar, why doesn't that Sheva Al Tasa kum say? Why does it matter? So that seems to also be the logic of Sheva Al Tasa, seems to also be a machlokas Ashkenazim and Sfaradim as follows. Logically, there are two ways to think about it. The easiest way to think about it is, I don't know, Sheva Al Tasa somehow, they could be oker, a low-level din. It can't be oker, a heavy-duty din. That's one way of thinking about it. But that really gets to the core question, which is, when Chazal are oker b'shav al tasa, you really mean that we're like oker b'shav al tasa? The imamish got rid of the din. Do Chazal ever really get rid of a din? And you remember we had sort of motivated that question with the historical vignette of Akiva Yosef Schlesinger, who had argued that now that we're back in the old city of Yerushalayim, we have to rethink maybe Bizman HaZeh, we should be blowing shofar on Shabbos. Maybe the Takanas Chazal doesn't apply. If you work on all the details of the Sugya beginning of the fourth Rosh Hashanah, the Chaveim disagreed. But Lamais, the rumor was he was going to blow anyhow. So if I hold that he's wrong, I hold that you're not allowed to, that the Takanas Chazal is in force. But there's a Jew who's blowing. Is there value to my going to here? Or the way the question was raised a century or two earlier, Ashkenazim say Shechiyanu both days of Rosh Hashanah. But Sfaradim don't. Says Machamachos Machabra Amah. Machabra holds that if you blew shofar the first day of Rosh Hashanah, then you don't say a Shechiyanu the second day. The same way, even Ashkenazim don't say Shechiyanu Lula the second day. They don't say Shechiyanu on Ner Chanukah the second day. So Sfaradim don't say Shechiyanu on Shofar the second day. Unless the first day was Shabbos, they didn't blow Shofar. Or you didn't have a Shofar. Sfaradim only say Shechiyanu the first time they blow Shofar. Let's say the first day was Shabbos and they blew Shofar by accident. They all forgot. That didn't happen a couple of years. The Balbatim all forgot. The rabbi forgot. Whatever happened. And they blew shofar on Shabbos. Afterwards, Kabbal, what do we do? Oi, blew shofar on Shabbos. Do you say Shechiyah the next day? This question is raised on the side of the page. both questions depend on when Chazal Oka B'Shev Altas, what are they doing? Are they actually undoing the Din D'Oraisa? Svardi Rishona seem to say yes. Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Brachas that when Chazal said the first Mishnah in Brachas, Midrabanan, you can't blow, you say Kriya Shema after Chatzos, because if you let you give you that leeway, you may end up falling asleep and waking up when it's too late in the morning. Rabbeinu Yonah says, and if you missed Chatzos, don't bother saying Shema, because there's no Kiyum even D'Oraisa. Chazal Mamash changed the Din D'Oraisa. Wow. Well, how else? And then you would say there's no point in going to hear Rabbi Yosef Schlesinger. There's mamish no mitzvah d'oraisa left. And if they betos blue shofar and Rosh Hashanah shachalias b'Shabbos, you can still say shachiyam tomorrow. That wasn't a mitzvah. That was no different than blowing an elul. The Torah was a zero. Wow. Yay, mamish ish koach left. And that is consistent with the Sfardi. That's Svardi Shita about question number two, the why. What's the nature of Akira's Davar? Consistent with their Shita on the question of what. Because to say that the law versus assay is to say Chomer versus Kal. As we said, there are many ways in which violation of a law is a more severe violation of Halacha than a violation of a Bitul assay. Where do you see that? Number one, the end of Yuma, the Arba Chiluka Kapara. You need more kapara for aveira of a lav than for bitul asay. You need yom kippur for a lav. You don't need yom kippur for an asay. You see that aveira's lav is more chomer than bitul asay. And in Yoredei Kufnun Zayin, we hold that you're not mechayv to spend more than a fifth of your money, a fifth of your assets, to avoid bitul alav mitzvah. But you're mechayv to lose all of your assets in order to avoid violating Allah. You are mechayv to spend more than 20% of your assets to be able to eat kosher food. But you're not mechayv to spend more than 20% of your assets to be able to shake the lulav where it sits this or so and so. I spoke about the Jews in Siberia, right? And his entire net worth is the 10 cigarettes. He's managed to, he would never smoke, that's an avera, and is a ridiculous thing to do. But the cigarettes are the currency. So he has 10 cigarettes. So he's mechayv to spend up to 2 cigarettes to get an asrid. But he's mechayv to spend all 10 cigarettes to be able to get kosher food. Oh, so these are all rayas that bitul, that avera of a lav is more chomer than bitul of the mitzvah. And the fact that it's often malchus for a lav, but never for an asrid. So the Sephardi approach is, it's mamish, an actual akira. A Kadosh Baruch Hu said sometimes you can be a rachisol, you can always be okay. Dover for the sake of exera. Rabbol, sometimes if it's a dover kal, if it's just a bitul amitzim. So again, what we're seeing is a consistent approach among the Sephardim to see that akira's dover atov b'shev al kase is literally, truly akira's dover min atovah. Chazal actually are. Chazal, even according to Rabba, Chazal are empowered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to undo some dinim drab, some dinim d'oraisa. If it's a lighter din d'oraisa, if it's a din kal, it's a bitul asay, that Chazal are empowered to do. That's why, according to that, there is no kiyum whatsoever, even d'oraisa of shofar for Shabbos. So there'd be no point going to hear your kiyos for Shlesinger. That according to that, you would say a shechiyanu on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, even if you're sardin, even if yesterday they blew batos. That's why Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Brachas that once Chazal said you have to blow shofar dafka before chatzos midrabanan, there's no kiyum whatsoever in saying the Kriya Shema after Chatzos. And that's why their shita in what is consistent with the why. Their shita that Sheva Al Tasa means mitzvah versus aveira is consistent. That's the right distinction for an actual Akira's Dover. If it's merely a bitul asay, then yesh koach lach. If it's aveira v'lav, that's too chomer, in koach lach. Bali Atosos, who understood that Sheva Al Tasim is literally physically active versus physically passive, so they, Rabbi Chanan points out, adopt the other view. That's not actually, that's not the Chazal were Oker Davar, even by Din Kal. They weren't Oker anything. They set each individual Jew up for his own personal halachic dilemma. They can't delete the din d'oraisa. What they can do is what they always do, which is to add a new din d'rabbanan. There is a din d'oraisa of shofar b'shabbos. That, according to Bali Tosfos, gets left untouched. Except that there they create a new din, the d'rabbanan don't blow shofar on Shabbos. So now comes Shabbos Rosh Hashanah morning, every individual Jew has a halachic dilemma to blow or not to blow. To blow and violate the din d'rabbanan, not to blow and violate the din d'oraisa. What's a Jew to do? So one of the rules we discuss Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav Ches, Mizvachim, is your stock, Shev V'al Tasa Adam. One of the rules for resolving a halachic dilemma is something. I'm stuck in a tree, now it's Shabbos, do I come down the tree and actively violate, but briefly, the Iser of Mishtamish B'ilan, or should I stay in the tree passively for many hours, but I'll be there for a long time violating Mishtamish B'ilan, but passive. So one can make the argument, perhaps, that's a good one everyone discusses, maybe I should stay in the tree. Shev al tasatus. That's what's going on over here. That would indicate. So that means there's no actual akira going on. Rikiyos or Schlesinger, yeah, why not? The mitzvah d'oraisa still exists. And that's why the what is physical activity, physical passivity, which doesn't drive kula versus chomer, but does drive sheval tasa adif. Bringing it back here, with this we wrap up for now, bringing it back here, so Abaye's application of sheval tasa Adif is indeed somewhat suspect, because is this really Sheval Tasa? Is this really Sheval Tasa? You're being physically passive. You're not paying your debts, but you're lechor. You're violating a law, not just a mitzvah. Even the old priest b'chol mitzvah, there's also a law lo sasho. You're violating, which is a form of gezel. So. How does Abaye work? So according to Bali Atosis, Abaye's Gishmak, according to the Sfardim, how would Abaye call Sheval Tasa Adif? So the truth is, the Sfardim might say, Inachanami. That's why Rava disagrees. We don't pass like Abaye, we pass like Rava. But Sfardim might say, Inachanami. That's exactly the Machlokes, Abaye and Rava. Abaye holds that Sheval Tasa means physically passive, and he holds this case of Sheval Tasa, and the Sfardim would say, Rava held. This isn't Sheval Tasa at all, and that's why Rava felt the need to give another teretz. So that explains why Rava disagrees with Abaye Lefi the Sfardim. And then, who had mentioned, I think Nate Dovi had suggested, that and Lefi Bali Taisus were left hanging. Lefi Bali Taisus, so what are you going to say? they think that they hold that Rava agrees with Abaye, because they talk a hold of that Abaye is the correct approach. This is Sheval Tasa. Sheval Tasa is physically passive. The Dovi has suggested, Rava might disagree more subtly. It's true, but it's not as good, and not that it's incorrect, but it's not as strong an answer. Hefker Bezna Hefker is a real change of the din. It's a more powerful approach, as opposed to Bali Tosel Shitasam, holds that Sheval Tasa, Akira Sheval Tasa isn't an actual Akira, it's merely setting you up for the Sheval Tasa Adiv. They may be both accurate, but Rava prefers a more powerful Hefker Bezna Hefker that actually changes the din on the ground. Chavar Yashkech.